Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up later on, Austin Amarca is a mechanic, and he'll tell us about automotive ripoffs and so on and so forth coming up next hour. We also have more on how Yasser Arafat really needs a bullet more than anything else. TV shows gone kaput, and consolidation news, because everybody's pretending like they really care a whole lot about media consolidation. And so we'll talk about that. Now, Greta Van Susteren, you know who she is. She's the one who got the eye job on Fox, and she's got kind of the crooked mouth. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not talking about her looks. I think, frankly, the eye job was, you know, good thing she got it. But no, I mean, she's very pleasant looking. In any event, it's not about her looks, which naturally we had to get into that, didn't we? Let me just go back. Well, she's the one that got the eye job, so what am I talking about? I didn't bring it up. She did. Tonight she's going to be interviewing Mike Tyson, and let me tell you what that is. That's called bring the ape out of the cage and let's stick it with some sticks and see what it'll say this time. That's exactly what it is. That's what Fox and Greta Van Susteren, who I've been told is very intelligent, and she's just an accomplished woman, and she's a lawyer, and oh my God, they're so proud of her at Fox. But you see, she's got nothing to talk about anymore. She hasn't got any news to report. She's got nothing to say. God knows she hasn't got any original thoughts of her own. Or, point of fact, probably nobody at that freaking channel has got any thoughts of their own, other than what some clown writes on a teleprompter in front of them, or what Shepard Smith is scrawling on his cabinet mirror in the morning with his lipstick. But Greta Van Susteren has hit a new low, in my opinion. This ain't even about her. This is about what everybody does. Everybody does this. They bring the ape out of his cage, and they start pushing and poking him to see if he'll say something. That's the role that Mike Tyson now plays in modern civilization. He's the wild ape in the cage. And when everything is dead and kind of quiet and there's nothing going on, hey, why don't we spray some mace into the ape's eyes and see if it screams? Guess what she's calling it? She's calling it a retrospective on the 1992 rape case. Why? Oh, well, because Greta Van Susteren, she's another one of these new journalists. She's bright and all of that bullcrap, right? See, what we got now is we have a new generation of lawyer journalists, and they're going to teach the old journalists just how it am. They're going to get in and dig up the story and give it some intelligent commentary. Sure they are. They're going to drag the ape out of its cage on its leash, kick it in the balls, and see what it says. And tonight, guess what happens? Tonight, Van Susteren does that, and she gets Tyson to say something stupid, like he always does, because he's a stupid, stupid criminal that should have been long ago banned from boxing and sent back to his farm where he could be medicated, intensive therapy, woodworking, I would say, work in the garden, some things that would really help him, not get back into the fight ring, not have anything more to do with the national spotlight of the media. It is bad for him. If I were a friend of Mike Tyson's, and God knows he probably has very few of those, if any at all. If I were a friend of his, I would say to him, Mike, you're a mess. You're a rapist. You're a jailbird. You are a world champion fighter of suspect credential. Give it up, baby. Go back to the farm where all the millions of dollars are that you got. Let's start growing, you know that apple tree that you wanted to, let's do that. You know what we can do? We'll plow the back 40 and plant corn. Something. Let's get a badminton court in. We'll put in a sport court. Play tennis. Anything. I don't want you talking to any more reporters.
How can you tell me that?
I'll tell you why. Because every time you open your big fat trap to some mouthpiece like Greta Van Susteren, what do you think happens?
She misquoted me and she said...
Don't give me that she misquoted you, man. You know you said what you said.
But they're always bugging me into that thing.
I know they bug you, so stay away from them. Stay away from them, Tyson.
What you mean, call me an ape?
That's what the way they see you. I'm not thinking you're an ape, but that's how they see you. You know that as well as I do. That's why you're angry. You're angry because the... And you want to know who the biggest culprit is? The sports writers. These guys are the biggest pack of phonies that the world has ever had the stomach for. Sports writers. Because these are the guys that hold themselves up as the real truth tellers. the real storytellers. Because, you know, the games reflect our subconscious. And football is just a metaphor for life, yada, yada, yada. Those are the guys that created the modern Mike Tyson image. I ain't saying that they caused him to rape that woman. I'm not saying that they made him go to jail or made him do the things that are illegal. I'm just saying that they are the forebears. They are the forerunners of the Greta Van Susterens of the world. They're the first guys that saw the ape potential in Mike Tyson. They're the guys that saw the zoo potential in a guy like Tyson. The sports writers. The biggest collection of phony balonies that the world has ever been able to keep in its stomach for more than 30 seconds. There ain't a one of them, not a one of them, with an original idea or any journalistic sense. There used to be a day a long time ago when sports writers could really tell a story. They could really dig some truth. These guys today that write about sports, they think they're telling you the truth. They are just sucking from the same big you-know-what. And it starts with H and it ends with R, and that stands for pool. And it's also the name of a restaurant with those girls in the orange shorts. Jesus, Pelton, how long is it going to take you before I can get you get it, and then I can move on with the thing? And the sports writers of America, and all of them, I don't care, these newspapers, whether it's a website or whether it's a broadcast sports journalists, quote unquote, they're all the same guys. They're the guys that drag the ape out of his cage, and they stick him with a stick, they spray some mace in his face, they get him pissed off, they get him to say something crazy, and then they write about what a disgrace Mike Tyson is. And what a horrible thing he is for the sport of boxing. Boxing? Oh, my God. Never has a sport been more responsible for the collective decay of human beings than boxing. Never has a sport been more responsible for the collective destruction of athletes than boxing. One of the worst, most disgusting, despicable pieces of crap excuses for a sport that has ever been foisted on anybody. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in martial arts as a sport. I do. I believe that pugilism, karate, all of that good, happy horse crap can be fantastic sport. But professional boxing in the world today has done more to destroy the lives of athletes than any other sport that I can think of. And God knows they've all tried. God knows football, baseball, hockey, they've all tried to run a lot of good men right straight into the ground. But boxing has been more successful than any other sport in manipulating, exploiting, and then throwing into a garbage can the lives of professional athletes. Mike Tyson's just another piece of crap that they found, they picked up out of the sewer, they built up to a certain level, squeezed as much money as they could out of him, and then threw him back in his cage. And when Greta Van Susteren or Fox or any of these other phony balonies, all these transparent journalists, these people that were lawyers one day and they decided it wasn't exciting enough, so they're going to become journalists. And when she's got nothing to say, and she's got nothing to report, and she's got no news story at all to go back on, and she never had anything original in her life to say other than, you know, maybe she cut a particularly ripe fart one morning when she was talking to her husband about getting the eye job, which I would, you know, I'd give her credit for that. Other than that, what the hell's she got to say? She's dragging Mike Tyson out of his cage, throwing him a banana and seeing what he's going to say. So anyway, it'll be on tonight at 9 o'clock on your local Fox station. I know you'll watch it. It's Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. We talked to Debbie today. Is she any closer to getting our blowsometer, our R.C. Collins blowsometer keychains? Oh, baby. When that day finally arrives, I am going to be one happy man. The R.C. Collins blowsometer keychain will break all records in sales, I know. Anyway, we don't have that out yet, but when you go to our website, you can pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can pick up, and this is a great idea for Dad Day. When's Dad Day? June 8th? I think the delivery, we can get delivery within 2 to 4 weeks. Well, even if it's delayed a little bit, give Dad a card that says, "Hey, Dad, your Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses are on the way." Your Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses are on the way. And that's just a beautiful thing. Then you get the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. Also, two Citizens Auxiliary Police jackets, blue or black. We have the baseball caps. We have the official Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, baseball cap. And we also, of course, our Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. which is fantastic for, you know, playing golf or just lounging around the house, just laying out in the street, and our spa robe. So it's all there on the website. See what you like. www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Austin Amarca, he's an auto mechanic about auto mechanic ripoffs and the fact that he's actually been sued because he doesn't want to do headlight jobs and oil changes, and he's refused to do them. Also, we'll have more news about Whitney and Bobby and the gay dating game, how hijacking will never happen again in America, all kinds of crap on The Phil Hendry Show coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Speaking of Greta Van Susteren, Gloria Allred. I know it sounds like it's all of a sudden Phil doesn't like women lawyers. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's nothing to do with it. It's you know, here's an individual who, when she's not chasing ambulances or dropping her card off in morgues and funeral parlors, she's giving a press conference for Amber Fry, and you know, she's just kind of inserting herself into all of these stories. Now, she had a radio show once that nobody listened to because it was horrifyingly bad. She's been on television. She's horrifyingly bad on that. She calls up, I found out that she calls up TV stations and bugs them to put her on. She's called up news services to bug them to put her on. Why? Why is this? I'm curious, why? Really? Well, why are you on the radio, Phil? Well, this is what I've been doing for 30 years. I'm a professional entertainer. I'm a professional commentator and entertainer. 30 years I've been doing this. I know about this. What is she, lonely or something? Does she need to talk to some? She's a lawyer. Why isn't she out prosecuting criminals or defending people? What is it with her being on sitcoms? What is that? Now you say, okay, you pick it on her. What about that Garagos guy? Well, he's just a mouthpiece, ambulance-chasing piece of crap, too. You're right, but she has been in my face for so long that I have got a permanent twitch. I've got a permanent, my eye is just, if you see me, I'm just, because every time I see her, it's almost as if, you know how they say if you see a strobe light or you play, what was the game that the kids played, Pokemon, that would give you epilepsy? That's what happens when I see Gloria Allred. I throw myself onto a floor and I swallow my own tongue. You say, well, you know, you're picking on a woman. I'm not picking on a woman. What really bothers me is that I got to sit here and I have to believe that she really means what she says. That's the thing. I'm expected to take her seriously, and it really angers me. I'm expected to actually give credence to her transparent efforts at becoming another media star like Johnny Cochran. Now, I've never liked her. For those very reasons. Not because I got a problem with feminist lawyers. I do not. What I don't like are these people who call themselves attorneys, but they spend more time bugging news services and television stations to get them on TV than they do taking an interview with some poor slob that maybe got mugged or got beat up by a cop or has some civil rights violation like that maybe she can actually go out and do some freaking good. I mean, some real good for somebody. Instead, she throws her kisser onto television, and the next thing you know, I'm pitched out onto a linoleum floor someplace, swallowing my tongue and spitting up liver bile, just gah, 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 because it has the exact same effect, epilepsy. It's like Gloria Allred gave me a scar in my brain. I have a serious, you know, what do they call it, a lesion? That's what I've got. I got a brain lesion from looking at her. What do you got a problem with her for, Phil? I just got done telling you. Every time I look around, she's inserted herself in another case. If it ain't that Michael Jackson dangling the kid incident, next thing you know, I see her popping up with that Amber Fry. I guarantee you she'll be in the Middle East standing next to Osama bin Laden one of these days going, well, now, let's just talk about this for a minute. I mean, he didn't really mean to fly the airplanes into the building. Or she'll be with some chick. Whatever's hot, she'll be there. I guarantee she'll be there. Whatever the next big case will be. But the mystery, the absolute mystery that is up there on a par with Stonehenge is how does she get all of that airtime? And that'll be the subject of tonight's Art Bell Show. And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. To call west of the Rockies, go to a phone booth. To call east of the Rockies, you might try a telephone as well. And for those of you in Canada and outside the United States, telephone, that'd work.
And good evening, I'm Art Bell, and welcome to Coast AM. We are going to be looking into one of life's great mysteries, and that is, of course, how does Gloria Allred get all that airtime? General Johnson Jameson is with us. General Jameson?
Yes, Art, I'm right here. I've been looking into it.
I'm looking at flying saucers, Stonehenge, the Loch Ness Monster, or Gloria Allred getting on television. Which is spookier?
Well, there's no doubt that they're all creepy and weird. Allred getting on television, though. You know, I remember the first time I saw the Loch Ness Monster, and it exists, by the way, Art.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Absolutely, it exists. Don't even kid yourself. People say it's a pair of pants floating in the water, and
there was a report yesterday, and I think it was released by the CIA.
Well, that figures.
Yeah, and they said that it wasn't really the Loch Ness Monster is not really a monster, that it was a beach towel that someone had thrown in, and I'm just wondering.
Well, they like to get you off the track, but
General Jameson, the question that we all have on our mind is: Gloria Allred, is this woman from another planet?
Well, I'm wondering. Let me tell you what happened, Art. You're going to be interested in this.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, do you have my picture on your website yet?
Yes, we do. We have General Jameson's picture on the website. You can go to www.irartbell.com, and you can see General Jameson.
Okay, because you know that's the only reason why I do your show.
Absolutely.
So, I called the Center for Disease Control, and I said, okay, come clean. What do you know about Gloria Allred coming from another planet? And guess what?
What?
They did not return my phone call. That tells me they're onto something, and they don't want to let it loose. Now, there's a strange cloud in the atmosphere of Venus, and it's in the shape of Allred's bad hairdo. So I'm wondering if...
That could very well be it. So what did you find out?
Well, I called the Center for Disease Control, and they hung up on me, which I expected, by the way. There's no shock. I knew that. And I called the president. Guess what?
What's that?
They wouldn't put me through to him. You see, once again, they're hiding something.
Unbelievable.
So I looked into it, and there's a highly complex relationship that she has with the people that produce television and radio shows, and we found that the active ingredient is this.
That is fascinating.
Absolutely. So I think that it's just she's giving it out a little bit.
And this highly sophomoric bit was Art Bell, Coast to Coast.
And thank you, Ross Mitchell. And don't forget, of course, our Beijing Crank Radio. And also our Beijing Crack Radio.
Which I've been smoking.
I'm Ross Mitchell. By the way, what does ABBA have to do with Art Bell's... What? I don't get it.
Are we off the air? Okay. Jesus Christ, I hate doing this, guys. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Friday night and the lights are low.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I got another list here of the world's sexiest women. This one is according to Jackass Magazine, FHM. And last week it was according to MHF, and then a week before it was according to FU Magazine, a week before that BFD Magazine, and a week before that Yo Mama Magazine. And, you know, every week there's a magazine, the sexiest women in America. Or the sexiest women on the planet, or the sexiest women in the universe, or the sexiest broads that the world has ever known, or the sexiest chicks since Mary Magdalene. I don't know. There's a lot of different lists. And they have on the American list, and I want to just, I want to give a hand to, is this FHM, Janice, that has Halle Berry? They actually worked a black chick into this list. Nice going. Where's Delta Dawn when I need it? They actually worked a black chick into the list. Delta Dawn. You see, black women are not supposed to be sexy to white guys. You talk to white guys about black women, man, you never heard a group of guys shut up faster. You've never heard a group of guys go silent quicker when you bring up the topic of how sexy and beautiful black chicks are. Like Pelton, for instance. I can't get him to shut up. But as soon as I mention how beautiful black women are, he's just, huh? Because white guys, you know, first of all, they're scared of them. They're afraid to approach a black girl because they think, A, she's got a knife in her do, or B, she's got a black boyfriend or brother someplace that'll kick the living crap out of him, or C, he ain't near man enough for her, or all of the above. So that's why you get Halle Berry on this list, because she's got a little white blood in her, so she somehow almost passes, and the rest of them are all white broads, except for the, you know, the one Hispanic, Jennifer Lopez, with her big ass and whatever else she's supposed to have, and I don't get it. Honest to God, I don't. Swear to God. She's got the big ass. That's great. I mean, there's plenty of women with nice big asses. What's with her? She can't sing. She can't act. She doesn't particularly have an attractive face. What are they talking about with this chick? Anyway, getting back to black women. White guys go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about women. All the time they talk about women. But the minute you bring up, yeah, my girlfriend was black, and they just kind of look at you like, huh? How do you do it with her? What are you, nuts? What do you mean, how do I do it with her? Well, I mean, does she beat you up if it's not good enough for her? Yeah, that's right, man. She kicks my ass. Yeah. What are you, stupid or something? What is it with you guys? Well, I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. Oh, get out of here. Get out of the doghouse, baby. See the world. Get out of the garage. That's the American list. Halle Berry, Holly Vance, Britney Spears. Yeah, she's hot for about another year. That girl, no offense, Miss Spears. I know you're very successful. I'm a nobody. But stop drinking while you can. That's my advice. Because your face is going to drop by 29. Just the jowls are going to go wonk. I don't think she'll age well. Hey, look, as long as they're propping her up as a sex symbol, I can comment on her like she's a piece of meat because they made her a piece of meat. And I recognize that there are a great many women who think that these are meat poles, and I got your meat pole. No, I think that these are women who, they want to be sex symbols. What are you talking about? Rachel Stevens, Carmen Electra was sexy until she hooked up with Dennis Rodman, who is another one of life's big fat burping babies, isn't he? He just needs attention. Somebody go down there and stick a pacifier in his mouth, or whatever it is that he likes having in his mouth. Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Anna Kournikova, because she's an athlete. She's one of those women that men find unbelievably irresistible. A beautiful woman who's also a great athlete. Oh, man. Guys, for some reason, can't resist that. It's everything they've ever wanted. A woman who can actually kick their ass at golf, and they're beautiful. And she's got the broken English.
I'd like to come to America and try out, at the U.S. Open, and then have sex with a lot of young boys.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
There's some guy watching his TV.
And anyway, I want to...
Look at her. Look at her.
Well, what is it with you, man? She's just a tennis player.
No, no. Not just tennis player, man. She's good looking.
Also, I have curious sexual habits. I have been to many other rooms in Bangkok.
Oh, yeah.
Will you put your robe back on or I'm leaving? You ain't my roommate no more, man.
You owe me a month's rent.
Not while you got your robe apart, I don't.
And also come to New York and have sex with lots of men, white and black.
Oh.
All right, I'm like, you're getting this guy. That's it, man. All right, and by the way, that's my TV set. I want it back. Kylie Minogue. You know who this girl is, Kylie Minogue? She's big time in Britain. She's had a couple of hit records in America. She's huge in Britain. And apparently she's got a nice-looking rear end. Now, Viz magazine, the funniest magazine in the history of the, you gotta read Viz, you just got to, did a whole fold out on her rear end and how it works. And you've gotta see this. It's a back issue. I don't know how I can help you with this. Maybe I'll post it, maybe I'll link it on my website. And then there is Jolene Blaylock. So that's the list from America. Now the British sexiest chicks. Are there any black chicks on this list? Because no, there's none on this one either. Unless you count Catherine Zeta-Jones. Ain't she? She could be. Kylie Minogue, Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, Holly Valance, Victoria Beckham. If you don't know who she is, she's Posh Spice. As opposed to Baby Spice, Scary Spice, Frightening Spice, and Diseased Spice. And the one with gonorrhea Spice. Angelina Jolie. Wow, I forgot about her, didn't you? But the British, they're still keeping her uppermost. They're keeping her toppermost. Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston is very interesting to me. She apparently is in a movie with, she's in this Bruce Almighty. And there's a scene where she is made to pleasure herself by her boyfriend, who is Jim Carrey, Bruce Almighty, because he is now God and he can make her do this, right? And allegedly, while she was shooting the scene, she didn't want him on the set anywhere. She didn't want him there, and it was very private. And I would say, you know, that's the point where you can say, oh, really? Well, Ms. Aniston, your film career has yet to take off, so we're going to sit here and stare at you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't want anyone. I don't care. We're going to sit and stare at you. That's just the stuff you can do to have a couple of, you know, laughs. I'm Mrs. Brad Pitt. I don't care who you are. We're going to look at you while you do it. Well, I demand that people go. Oh, you demand? Do you demand, really? Get Kylie Minogue on the phone, please. Thank you. Miss Minogue? And then we have Liz Hurley. She's always a fantastic, whatever. And then, no, she's beautiful. Anastasia. Where's she? Who's she? I missed her. She's a European singer. She ain't busted through here. Somebody had to do a study on that, too, just as we're on the subject. But the reason why I'm bringing all of this up is this. I said a little bit about this last night, and I want to bring it up again. I got nothing against sexiest chick lists, right? But there's kind of an unspoken message, all this stuff. And here it is. Here's what you're supposed to think is sexy, guys. This is it right here. And if you don't, frankly, you're a fag. That's really the message. Because if you've been around men long enough, you know that they all sort of repeat the same things that other guys say, that they heard another guy say, that they read in FHM. So they'll say Jennifer Lopez is hot. What they really are saying is, I like chicks with a big ass, but they don't want to say that. So they'll say Jennifer Lopez is hot. Right. And they'll say that Britney Spears is hot. All that means is I heard somebody say that she is, and I better say it. Otherwise, somebody's going to think I'm a fag. So if you think it's all harmless, it probably is, except for a couple things. May I mention bulimia and anorexia? Those are all kind of image-driven diseases. And guys can suffer from similar things like steroid abuse or going in for those penis enhancement programs. Next thing you know, you've got, like, a deformity. What did you do? I just attached a pump to it. You what? It doesn't even look like one anymore. You put a what on it? I put a pump on it, man. It was in the magazine. Why? Because I figured Kylie Minogue likes... Kylie Minogue wouldn't know you, man, from a dog turd. And you put a pump on it. Freaking thing is half the size it used to be. Jesus, now you're in trouble, man. Well, I thought Jennifer Lopez, she looks like she could handle it. Oh, you don't look at pal, she's married. Or will be. Or she's living with a guy. I don't know what she is. Put up, you know, so let me get this right. You put that pump on it, then what did you do? Then I just kind of pumped it for a while and until it exploded like that. Yeah. Man. Freaking looks like a wine cork now, dude. You're in trouble. 1-800-449-8686. So just stick to your own sexiest chick list. You know who's number one on my sexiest chick list? Huh? I'm a married man, so who do you think would be number one on my sexiest chick list? You got it, our receptionist here. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for our Scott Peterson update. I really didn't mean to hit that. I meant to hit. All right. Actually, I meant to hit. I didn't mean to hit that. I was looking for Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Where the hell is it on here? That's what I get for buying that, the one that, you know the one. The K-Tel one. Did you ever send away for those? You get the second and third take. Anyway, Scott Peterson, here's the latest. They have leaked to the press, and it's the best thing you can do is leak to the press. If you ever want to leak on someone, leak on the press, because they can take it. Anyway, they leaked to the press that the autopsy of Lacey Peterson showed that the baby had tape wrapped around its neck and had perhaps a wound of some kind, a stab wound. And, of course, Peterson's attorney is seizing on this as further proof that it's possible there was a satanic cult involved. What do you mean, cut four? Get out of here, will you? Cut four on what? I just played cut four. Yeah, I know. Well, I can read. I put on... Feeling sad and blue. What the hell am I doing a Lacey Peterson update for with the Archies anyway? This is backfiring badly. God. One moment, please, while I collect myself. Phil Hendry has been tasteless. Please stand by. Phil will be doing one of his famous voice bits coming up. Stick around. Stay tuned for more of the Phil Hendry Show right after he gets his ass kicked. You wouldn't believe it, but the guy's been in the business 30 years. All right. Scott Peterson's unborn baby and his dead wife. You know the details. I just recounted them to you. I will not repeat them. And this is being seized upon as further evidence that this was a satanic cult of some kind. Now, this is a guy who, as we've said, and I think it needs to be kept in mind as each day progresses, as each day moves forward, you have to keep in mind two basic truths, two fundamental truths about this case. A, the attorney, the defense attorney, Mark Garagos, sees this as his ticket. This is the big one. He's been waiting his whole life, his whole career for this, and now he's going to bust out, and he's going to be big time on this one. Johnny Cochran, Clarence Darrow, Jerry Geisler, they're all going to pale in comparison when this cat nails this thing down. So Garagos sees this as his meal ticket, and he's got to get this guy off. He has to. Otherwise, he's a lightweight chump who's got to sit out and pick cigarette butts out of Johnny Cochran's ashtrays while he's waiting to get an interview with him as a legal clerk. That's the way, that's the future in Mark Garagos' mind. That's the only, the two choices. He is on every talk show, every TV show, court TV. He is being feted as the greatest defense attorney since Perry Mason. He's going to kick that DA Berger in the ass. Or the alternative is he's going through big glass ashtrays looking for smokable butts in Johnny Cochran's reception room while he's waiting for Mr. Cochran to interview him to scrub out the garbage pails. That's number one. Number two, because Scott Peterson is a psychopath, he can lie better than anybody you've ever seen before or since. And because he's a psychopath, he also fears one thing and fears it more than anything. He fears losing control. So if you will remember that, then you can easily appreciate how Scott Peterson, seeing a pregnant woman standing before him, knowing that he was about to become a father, knowing that he was about to be responsible for three lives instead of just two, knowing that he had two, maybe three girlfriends on the line outside of the home that beckoned, that sort of, like Bally High is calling, just sort of, Scott, you know, Scott, oral sex, whatever, something was beckoning him. Knowing that he was beginning to lose control, what do I do? How do I deal with it? This woman, I'm going to be tied to her for the rest of my life. And what happens when a psychopath loses control? You guys don't know this. You know why you don't know this? Because nobody explains this to you. Greta Van Susteren is going to have Mike Tyson on tonight. She's going to be spraying more mace into the baboon's eyes so she can get some more ratings. Because this chick, she ain't got nothing to say, right? Let me explain this to you. The reason why Peterson murdered his wife is because psychopaths fear losing control more than anything else. And the way they get control back is by killing somebody. They have control over their life. That's how they find the control back. And as I was saying this, I looked up at my TV screen and I saw the line, Carney Wilson to go nude for Playboy. And just, you know what, I don't have the stomach for it now. I want to go home. I was talking, all these things I was interested in, then I saw Wilson Sisters to strip for Playboy, and suddenly, you know, if you ever get that kind of a slow nausea just rolls over you, that's what happened. All right, I'm tired. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget to get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. World famous, it's a double CD set for the year 2002. Go to our website, or you can call this number, 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And there they will take your order for the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. All of the money that we raise from the sale of that CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
There have been charges recently of, actually just of unfair pricing, unfair mechanical and repair practices. I wanted to get on the line here a man who owns a repair shop in Lancaster, California. We've talked to listeners last hour about this. Austin DeMarco has owned DeMarco Automotive Repair in Lancaster for 15 years. We thank you for joining us, sir.
Yes, sir.
You feel, as I know a lot of people feel in your business, that you're unfairly criticized for charging too much, for being lax, for not being skilled. What would you say to that?
Well, sir, I would say what just about anybody in my business would say. It's very unfair. All of us, not the ones that I do business with, and the members of the California Automotive Mechanics Association, we are all certified mechanics. I'm an automotive mechanic. I don't like the term grease monkey any more than anybody else does, but we have been insulted that way at times. People think that I'm trying to steal from them. but they don't look at the fact that we have customers who come in every single day and try to steal from us.
Now, you mentioned this. Explain this to me.
Well, what I mean by that is I'm a mechanic. I'm an automotive mechanic. I'm a car mechanic. I have someone pull in and say things to me like, will you, for instance, top off my windshield wiper fluid? Do you fix flat tires? And probably the biggest insult that any trained mechanic can hear is when someone pulls into my garage, well, I may be doing an engine rebuild, well, I might be doing transmission work, well, I might be doing repairing a clutch or remounting a clutch, and someone will say to me, I've got a broken headlight. Now, this to any mechanic is a slap to the face. And so that's why I will say to them, yes, I will repair that for you, but after I get done repairing it, that's when I give them the lecture, and that's the problem we had.
Well, what you do is you repair these, what you call, and you said this in a press release, pansy-ass repairs, correct?
Yes, sir. Or what I call chicken.
All right, you got to watch your language on that, okay? If you want to call it chicken-ass?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Okay. You call this stuff pansy-ass or chicken-ass?
Yes, sir.
And you make people listen to a lecture.
What I do is, look, you have to understand, I'm working on a car, repairing the engine or doing something that I've dreamed my whole life to do, and then here comes somebody and they say, yeah, can you top off my radiator? And that is enough to anger. That's a direct provocation. So I will say to them, yes, I will. And I'm as nice as sunshine. But as soon as I'm done with that, then I will sit them down in my office, and I will read them the Riot Act. And only then do they get their car keys back.
And what are you saying to them?
Well, what I basically say is that I will tell them, why don't you have a seat here? And if there's two or three customers I've finished on their car, I'll sit them down and I'll say, you people have wasted my time. You've wasted the time of my garage with your chicken-ass, and I won't use the word, repair. And you come in here and you ask me to repair your taillight? I'm a mechanic. I fix cars.
What do you think people should do with a busted taillight?
Take it down to a... Do it yourself if you want to. Take it on down to one of these places where they got these grease monkeys working at these gas stations and have them do it. Don't you bring it into me. Don't you ever bring into me a busted taillight. Because I'll tell you right now, I will sit you down, and I...
Well, all right, I got to bring up...
Well, I'll read them the Riot Act.
Well, I got to bring up the name of a lady here, Carrie Wildemuth. Do you know her?
I know the woman, yes.
All right, she's a student at UCLA. She said you called her a stupid, and then you used the C word.
All right, now hold Mr. Henry again. She provoked me.
All right, how did she provoke you?
After I told her about me not doing this pansy-ass work, or excuse me, the pansy work... She says, by the way, can you change the windshield wiper fluid? And I'll tell you something. Oh, man.
All right, just collect yourself, sir, because I can tell that you're upset.
That's the direct provocation. So I went ahead, I filled up her windshield wiper, and then I read her the Riot Act. And I sat her down, and I said, now, you listen to me, and you listen good. You screw with me. Do I fill up your windshield wiper fluid? And that's when I said, yes. I said, you are stupid. And then I used the word.
Well, that, sir, is completely unacceptable for somebody who uses that kind of language doing business with the public.
But what about me? What about me?
What about you, sir?
Well, she provoked me. See, this is the thing that I've been having to deal with. Channel 2 came over here and interviewed us last week that people from Channel 7, the guy that does that action news, this guy said the same thing to me, and I said, what about me? She comes in here, asks me to change her windshield wiper fluid. I change out the engines of cars. I don't patch tires. That's what I said to them.
All right, but you have a short fuse for this kind of stuff.
Anybody would. You're going to come in here and tell me, hi, how you doing? How about, do you have a gumball machine? This is the kind of stuff that just drives me out of my mind.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Put him on hold. And what I need for him to know, Janice, is to watch his language. And I would like him to maybe settle down a little bit. Austin Amarca is my guest. He is the owner of Amarca Automotive. It's in Lancaster, California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. He basically is angry that people are coming in and asking him to patch their tires. While he considers himself to be a serious mechanic, he has been known to get upset at people for asking him to change out their headlights, wiper fluid, oil changes, to jump start their cars, or to repair a tire puncture. Now, what he's doing is he's keeping the keys to the car and not giving them back to the customer until he gives them a lecture on how they wasted his time. That may or may not be legal. I think holding a woman there and calling her a stupid C-word is definitely over the line. I'm going to get Mr. Amarca back on the line. You agree that saying the C-word is wrong, don't you?
Well, you want to go back to that, Mr. Henry. I'd be happy to go back.
Don't you agree, though, sir?
The one thing you're not doing is you're not saying how... You're not acknowledging how I got offended.
All right, so you're I acknowledge that, sir.
Okay, yes, I shouldn't have used the C-word. But that stupid... Boy, I...
See what I'm saying? In other words, you don't have any control over your emotions. You're asking...
Mr. Henry, I'll tell you a story if I could. My father owned a mobile station out in Glendora, California. And I saw my father being driven slowly insane, literally slowly mad, by 25 years of these silly you-know-whats coming into the station and saying, my battery is low. Can you jumpstart me? And
Well, why is that such an upsetting thing, sir? If you're in the business of repairing cars...
There you go. You hit the nail on the head. I'm in the business of repairing cars. I'm not in the business of chicken crap and getting water in the radiator and water in the battery. And my father, who I miss very dearly, who passed on 2 years ago this month, who was remanded to the psychiatric facility at Camarillo, here in the state of California, because he was driven over the course of 25 years, slowly but surely insane, by every mealy-mouth and these housewives who will come in here and say, "Hi, I know you're a certified mechanic. Why don't you put a patch on that tire?" That's an insult to me and to every Christian soul that's an automobile repair person. And you see, I said repair person because... if I don't say person, then the women out there think I'm a sexist pig. And I admit the C-word is offensive, but she had to realize how she offended me with her stupid headlight change. What about that?
Well, sir, I would say that a woman asking for a headlight change, she's not aware that...
That is just the same as calling me a piece of you-know-what.
No, it is not the same.
I think in my business it is.
You called that woman the C-word. You say when she asked for a headlight bulb to be changed out in her car, that's the same as calling you a piece of S?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, that's ridiculous, sir. I mean...
Well, sir, you have to understand. Well, then you don't know anything about auto mechanics.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. We're talking with Austin Amarca. He is a mechanic. And he is talking about the fact that if you come to his gas station, his automotive repair shop, and ask him for what he calls pansy-ass repairs, and that is patching a tire, filling up the washer fluid, some of these other things he mentioned, Janice, headlight repair, oil changes, jump starts, that you are wasting his time. He has been giving lectures to people after he repairs their cars doing these things. One woman who reported this to our action line, Ms. Carrie Wildemoff, said that he called her a stupid C-word after he repaired a punctured tire that she brought into her into his repair shop. Now, I don't know much about the automobile repair business, but I realize these guys are certified mechanics, and they do engine repairs, they do engine overhauls, they do engine rebuilds. But isn't it part of their job, too, if they have to put the water back in the radiator, put the water back in the battery? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You gave an interview to Channel 4 in which you said, I'm talking with Austin Amarca of Amarca Auto Repair. He is tired of doing what he calls pansy ass or, quote, chicken ass, end quote, repairs on cars. Isn't that right?
No, sir. That's not what I've said, Mr. Hendry. I have.
Well, you've insulted people when they come into your station to ask for a tire repair. You've insulted people when they come into your station and ask.
First of all, sir, I don't have a station. Okay? I don't have a gas station. I'm not a grease monkey. I am a certified auto repairman. So I'm not pumping gas and selling jawbreakers. And when people come in here and treat me like I'm some lube monkey from a mobile station, my father owned a mobile station, and he went insane. So this is what I'm saying. And
Well, I don't know whatever you're saying, but there was a woman, Ms. Stewart, said she tried to get the key back from you and to leave, and you took her by the arm and pushed her back down?
I told her that she'd wasted my... She didn't give me respect and wasted my time.
Then why do you do these... Why do you do these repairs?
I don't mind doing the repairs. What I want from these people is respect. When they come in and they say to me...
Well, what do you mean?
Well, when they come in and say to me, hi there, listen, I need a fuse changed out because my CD player don't work no more. Boy, that's... I get these three-piece suit people, and they got a CD player, and they've got some of this gay,
All right, sir, I do not want any of that.
I'm sorry, sir.
I don't even want a hint of any of that sexual orientation bigotry here. Do you understand?
I'm sorry, sir.
So they come in, and they want a fuse changed out.
And I say to them, okay, now you listen to me. I'm going to change the fuse. And then when I get done changing the fuse, I look at them, and I say, now do you realize what you had me do? You had me sit there and change a fuse for you and your CD player when I could be doing some big-time work in there.
Meanwhile, you're not giving them the key back.
They don't get the key back until they hear me out. Because how would they like it if I came to their house and asked them to fetch me a beer, to fetch me their daughter to sexually pleasure me? And
that's not the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing, sir.
No, it's not. Asking you to change a tire?
It's the same thing.
Asking you to change a tire is the same thing as you walking into their house and asking for their daughter.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right, let me go over here to Patrick. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I love your show. This
Thank
guy's
you.
A hoot. I think what he needs to do is maybe give a little bit of Southern hospitality and just do the job.
I ain't down south. I'm in California. Hey, dummy, I'm in California. I ain't down south.
That's fine, and I can see your approach to it, but I'm really not dumb.
Well, then don't say that I ought to be given some Southern hospitality when I'm out in Lancaster, California.
Where are you from originally, Mr. Marker?
Can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Can I ask you a question?
What's that?
If I came in and you rebuilt my engine in my truck, and then after you did that, I asked you to change my windshield wiper, would you do it? And would you give me a picture?
I tell you what I would do. I would change it, but I'd say that you're pushing it a little bit.
Pushing it? The guy just gave you thousands of dollars worth of business, and you can't change out his washer fluid?
No, I appreciate that. But what I'd say to him is, okay, I just got done rebuilding your engine. Why would you then want me to change your wiper fluid?
Are you too good to do that?
I think it's am I too good to do it?
Yeah.
Well, no, but why would you disrespect me like that?
I don't feel that's disrespect. I'm asking you for performance.
I just rebuilt your engine. Now you want me to grease monkey it? See, that's what them grease monkeys do down there at the gas station.
No, I don't really consider changing a windshield wiper a grease monkey.
That's grease monkey work.
No, well, wait a minute. That's regular car servicing. That's
Mr. Henry, excuse me. You've been in this auto service business?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay, then you don't know what you're talking about. That's like having sex with me and then telling me you've got the clap.
Hey, Phil.
You know something? You want to laugh at that? Are you in the automotive repair business, sir?
No, sir, I'm not. And after some of your remarks, I don't know if I would want to be.
It is a wonderful business. And
well, I think you're doing a disservice to it.
How?
Hey. By making guys who have automotive repair shops sound like weird asses.
I'm not a weird ass. I just don't do pansy work.
Well, the gentleman said after a rebuild on his engine, why wouldn't you put in windshield wiper fluid? You think that's an insult?
Why would he have me do something noble, right, like rebuild an engine, and then turn around and urinate all over me and say, by the way, boy, change the windshield wiper? Why?
Because you're there, man. Have somebody else do it.
None of my guys do that. My guys are certified mechanics.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Amanda. Go ahead, Amanda.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I just wanted to tell this man that I think you are the most ignorant, vulgar person I've ever heard in my life.
Why do you say that? Well, I'm trying to protect
and
my business.
You're lucky you have any business with your attitude.
Why?
If I lived in California, I would never give you business. I would recommend everybody I know not go and give you any business at all.
Well, let me tell you what.
Part of owning a business is professionalism, and you have zero.
People know to bring their cars to me because I do a first-class job. But what I don't take is any guff from customers who want to tell me how to run my life.
You know what? Your customers are what put food on your... You should take whatever they give you. It doesn't matter.
Wait. In other words, Amanda, if I said to you, hey, here's $20, let's you and me go around behind this building, you should take the money because it put food on your table? Of course you wouldn't.
Why do you have to relate that, sir, to sex?
Well,
you relate everything to sex.
No, I do not, ma'am. I'm just trying to say...
Yeah, everything is related to sex. It's like having sex with him and giving him the clap. All of these things have to do with sex.
No, sir. What I'm saying, Mr. Henry, and I think what you've done is a very good job of twisting everything that I've said. I'm saying I'm asking for respect, and when someone comes into my automotive repair and says to me, yeah, hey, can you get some water into my radiator, please? Boy, they're asking for it.
You have to give respect to get respect. I mean, I'm sorry, maybe you're not from the South and you don't understand that concept, and that's fine, but people don't just give you respect. You earn that.
Let me ask you something, ma'am. You know the difference between a headlight and a taillight, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right. I had this woman, quote-unquote, come in and say, can you fix the tail doohickey thingy? She's saying these things that to a... I'm a repairman. What do you mean, doohickey thingy? What's that supposed to mean? See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's
she didn't know what it's called. She's not a certified mechanic. That's why she came to you.
It's called a taillight, ma'am. And to just squat over me and leak on me like that is...
All right, I'm getting a little tired of the references. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Stop it.
I apologize.
It sounds like to me this is a whole like women bashing session. It's not really about windshield wiper fluid or.
No, ma'am. I love women. I told her right then and there, I'll fix your doohickey, but don't treat me like I'm a butt log.
If I came into your shop and you refused to give me my key and before I heard your lecture, you're not my dad. You are of no authority to me whatsoever.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back.
I'm giving you respect, sir. Austin Amarca is my guest, the owner of Amarca Automotive Repair in Lancaster, California. Now, you have said that people coming into your automotive repair shop are insulting you, bringing you what you call pansy-ass work like repairing tires. Why don't you put a sign up that says major repairs only?
Mr. Owner, I've said to you, I don't mind doing those repairs, but I let people know the break that I'm giving them and how I'm extending myself, and I need some respect for that. That I'm going to sit there and patch their tire? I do automotive repairs. So that's why I do what I do.
That's why you keep their keys until they listen to your lecture.
I want to explain to them the facts of life. You don't come rolling in here and having me filling up your wiper fluid without me explaining the facts of life.
All right, well, this Miss Wildhoff, you know her.
You have mentioned her name now a number of times, yes, sir.
All right, you know her because she said, and this is about the most juvenile thing I've ever heard, that when you finally did give her keys back, you pulled them from out of your pants?
That is correct, yes, sir.
What is the point of you pulling those keys up from the crotch of your pants?
Mr. Henry, she has wasted my time asking me to fill up her wiper fluid.
What's the point of you sticking her car keys down in your underwear and then pulling them out from there?
There's nothing wrong with it. It is
unhygienic, for God's sake. If you had any kind of a disease...
No, that right there is actionable. I could sue you for that.
Sue me for what?
Suggest that I got some kind of disease or crotch thing on the keys.
1-800-449-8686. We're going over here to Carl. Carl, go ahead. Hi. Carla, I'm sorry.
Hi. How are you?
Ahead. Very good, ma'am.
I don't know your name, sir. What is your name, the mechanic?
My name's Austin Amarca.
Say it again.
Austin Amarca. What, are you writing
a
book?
Amarca?
Are you writing a book?
Well, you don't have to be rude, sir.
I'm not being rude.
You don't have to ask her, is she writing a book?
I'm having a hard time hearing him. But I'm going to tell you this. If I came into your shop and asked you to fill up my wiper fluid and you told me that, I would be sniffing your, cutting your balls off and stuffing them down your throat. Now, that's as dirty as I'm going to get.
Told you
what. I will tell you this. I am a woman. I drive an 18-wheeler, and I can do my own work. I know what a headlight and a taillight is. There's a lot of women that don't know that.
Why would you come in and ask me to do work? Because you want to just start a fight?
No, I know how, but there's a lot of women that don't. So don't treat them like they're dummies.
No,
it's
I'm
people
not...
like you that give mechanics a bad name.
What are you going
to... I hope that you go out of business.
What are you going to cut my balls off for? Why? Just because I said
you treated me like that?
Did what?
Pulling
that,
your...
You talk about wanting respect. The lady had it right that talked earlier. You don't deserve respect because you don't earn it.
No.
You treat a woman
only...
like she's an idiot.
How do you spell your name, ma'am?
C-A-R-L-A.
Is that your last name or your first name?
That's her first name.
That's my first name.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, I'm talking to the lady. Is that your last name or your first name, ma'am?
That's my first name.
And how do you spell your last name? Let me see if I got it right. D-U-M-B-A-S-S.
Okay, now that is uncalled for.
Well, that's, she started it.
No, you're childish. Start at my foot. There's nothing to it.
All right.
You're disrespectful.
Yes, and also a very good point here is that if you are asking for it, Mr. Amarca, you're going to get it.
Asking for what?
Sticking somebody's car keys down into your underwear and then pulling it out and giving it to them is asking
you
for
it. You know what I would do if you did that to me?
What?
Oh, I guarantee you, you would be in jail in a heartbeat.
What are you going to put me in jail for? Putting my car keys in my underwear?
You know what? I'm glad I don't live in California. I'm in Michigan. But I was so angry at the way you act, you talk.
I'm a businessman.
I had to call, and I've never called a talk show before.
Ma'am, I'm a businessman. I'm trying to get it across to these people.
But
you don't roll in here and ask me.
You need to have respect for people if you're going to work with the public. If you don't want to work with the public, don't work with them.
Ma'am, I've never hit a woman with a crowbar. But if you came into my station...
Oh, I'd beat you to it. I got a cedar bar that's about 4 foot long. I'd beat you to it.
And what am I supposed to do if you take the time to sniff those keys? Yeah, see?
Okay, that does it.
I didn't hear what he said.
You don't need
to.
Carla, you don't need to hear it. Believe me.
I'll say it again.
I will not let this lady hear what you just said. It is the vilest.
I said she'd sniff the keys.
I just told you to shut up.
There is women that know how to do this, and then there's women that don't.
Yeah.
The women that don't need to be treated like they're idiots.
Absolutely. Carla, thank you for your call. That's the whole thing. You want respect, you don't give respect.
Mr. Henry, I don't do anything to provoke it.
When somebody comes in and says, will you change my headlight, just change the headlight.
So there you're back to now I'm a grease monkey.
I never called you a grease monkey.
Well, that's what grease monkeys do. Grease monkey. You know what that is? That's the worst thing you can be called. That means you're hopping around a lube bay all day like an ape on your knuckles.
Let me go to Janet here. Hi, Janet. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Janet? Wow. Janet, hold on for a minute. You're in a bad cell. Hold on. Dennis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Dennis?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I want to ask that guy, why doesn't he just make a deal with a grease monkey down the street to refer those people to and have that guy refer the good work to him.
Well, because I don't mind doing the work.
But then you're gonna bitch the customer out about it?
Well, I just want them to know who they just asked to repair the puncture in their tire. They didn't just ask some grease ape. You see what I'm saying? They asked the owner of Amarca Automotive, and I want them to appreciate that.
Well, just explain to them what you do and say, I've got a deal worked out with this guy down the street, and send them on their way.
Then I lose the business.
Well,
you said you didn't want that kind of business.
No, I said I don't mind it. I just want them to afford me the proper respect. See, that's what drove my father insane.
Wait a minute. Do you or do you not want to repair tire punctures?
I'd rather not, but I won't turn the business down. But they've got to show me some proper respect. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what do you call proper respect?
Anything. They can invite me for a drink, invite me to their home for dinner, anything.
What if this is a married woman you're talking to?
I don't know what you mean by that.
What if it's a married woman?
If it's a married woman, it's a married woman. I mean, whatever she tells her husband, she tells him.
I think this guy probably drove his own father insane.
What's that supposed to mean?
Customers.
What's that supposed to mean? I drove my father insane. My father went to Camarillo State Mental Facility because the customers told him over and over again, hey, would you mind doing some more chicken-ass work on my car and jumpstart it? I got a room in the back of the shop. Married or not, those women are going to show me respect.
Well, I appreciate you listening to me.
I don't check dipsticks.
Good luck.
I don't check no dipstick.
You are a dipstick.
Oh, man. That son of a bitch.
All right.
I had one old gal ask my father to push starter, so he pushed her right out onto the road. And that's what put him away.
I'm sorry?
My father...
This is when your father went nuts.
Yes, sir. What he did was, some woman said, will you push start me? Well, that was one too many. He pushed her right out in the middle of Rosebead Boulevard, and there was a truck coming out of the Vons doing about 50. Man, you should have seen it. Oh, God, it was beautiful. Car parts up and down the street, and she was already in a wheelchair.
And that's what finally put him away.
They finally put him in the nut bin for that, yeah.
Well, Mr. Mark, I can only say to you, and it sounds like you're very busy over there.
Yeah, hold on. Shorty, what she want? Because this is what I'm talking about right here. Hold on. What she want?
Said she wants me to change out her oil.
Change her oil? Oh,
we don't change no oil. Well, you're just an asshole.
I'm a what? All right,
sir.
Would you call me? I don't change oil. I don't do tires. I'm checking my dipstick. I don't check no dipsticks. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, you're done, all right. Good luck.
I gotta get that. If that's my mother, tell her I got her sweater. Hey, dumbass, I'll change your oil if you suck.
Okay, that's fine. That's Austin Amarca from Amarca Automotive Repair. Do yourself a big favor. Just don't go to that guy's shop at all. Not to ask for anything. A rebuild, oil check, nothing. Because he's nuts. His old man went into the nut bin after push-starting some woman right out into Rosemead Boulevard, and she got hit by an 18-wheeler broadside. And she already had handicap plates. Man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Henry Show is back.
According to Western Estates, by the way, that was me doing the voice of Austin Amarca in that bit. Anyway, and those people thought he was a real guy. Bobby Dooley, the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, was on the other day to say that she feels that the actor, what's the guy's name? The actor. Morgan Freeman playing God in Bruce Almighty. The depiction of God as a black man may be misunderstood by children and might scare them. So we had this caller who basically told her she was nuts.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't think they need to worry about anybody else or anybody else's perception, first of all. I mean, I'm a mother. I don't know anybody's kids that are going to be afraid unless they come from horribly racist parents. I mean, you're assuming that people are afraid. First, you do a huge disservice to the general
public. So you're
public,
all right with it.
You are stupid enough
to be
afraid of Morgan Freeman playing God.
Second of all, when
they said he's God is law, it has nothing to do with Buddhism. He's saying he's an entity. He is no race. He is not a human as we see it. And to tell your children
that God is white is the epitome of racism. How do you know?
How do I know what?
That God's not a human. See,
are you Christian?
So great.
Let's just be straight. Buddhism doesn't count.
You think according to you.
So I'm assuming that you're Christian.
The only reason the movie's doing well is out of curiosity to see what a black God looks like. That's it.
Are you on any antipsychotic medication?
Are you trying to tell me that the people are seeing Bruce Almighty because it's scary?
I think it frightens them to see a black God.
This woman is scary. If anybody's scary, it is a
Well, you can't. You're
She's
sitting there telling me
that exemplifies what is wrong with this country and regulations right now.
You're telling me right now that God's Buddhist or some ridiculous thing.
Did I say that?
I asked you what religion you were,
and I'm saying God's an entity is not a Buddhist statement.
See, you think you're God. You have that kind of sound to your voice.
No, I'm educated and I know what I'm talking about.
Then why are people running out of the theater screaming?
What are you talking about?
Out of Bruce Almighty.
My understanding is, especially in Toronto and other cities like that...
Like Toronto. What's special about Toronto?
Because they're mostly white.
I've been to Toronto. No, they're not.
And they're mostly white.
No, they're not.
I've been to Toronto multiple times.
You're completely wrong.
Toronto is mostly white people.
Okay. When was the last time
you were there? Why are you whispering?
Because I was there 9 months ago.
I did not see mostly white people at Toronto.
Well, then maybe you should go where the white people are. You like hanging out with blacks, and that's why you've got this whole thing for them.
Okay, you're completely insane.
Oh my God!
You haven't been able to argue my point. Which point would that be?
First of all, you go into cities and seek out the black neighborhood because you like their company. Secondly,
then you know this about me how?
Because you just said you went to Toronto and all you saw were black people.
No, I saw white people. There were lots of onion. I didn't say black.
I said not white.
Not white means Hispanic. It means Asian.
Listen, do you know what it would be like to all of a sudden be talking to your mother and she takes off her white mask and she's black?
I don't think God is white, so I don't know where you think God is white.
Of course you don't.
Where do you get that idea?
Well, of course you
I'm
don't.
I'm Catholic.
You have the black boyfriend.
White Midwestern Catholic family,
right.
And I know God's not white.
Of course you do, because you've got the black boyfriend. You seek out the black
My fiancé is Irish.
You're starting to...
No, she's typical of a lot of self-hating whites. You love to go down to the chicken shack. You know.
Oh, because only African-Americans enjoy chicken?
The kind of places you go to, yes.
All right.
Okay, she's insane. I mean, there's no even point in talking to this woman. She's not making any sense. She's not concerned about anything.
Not making any sense to anyone
who's not concerned for children.
She's
not well.
I care about children.
Ma'am, you're coming off like a mint racist. You say you're not, but you're coming off like one. God's black. This lady hangs out at the chicken shack. She's got the black boyfriend. She's a self-hating white. It might scare people. What if it didn't scare people? And what do you mean people are running out of the theater screaming? I never heard anything about that.
That was my understanding.
From who? From where? From what news source?
A friend of yours said.
What, that went in the Klan?
Was your friend...
Oh, listen to you. You're still on the line? I thought you hung up and ran off to your... NAACP meeting.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
We have Ms. Dooley. Yes, Ms. Dooley?
Mr. Hendry, I heard you playing back our conversation.
It was interesting.
No, that's fine, but you called me, and I'm still shaking from this, you called me a mint racist.
What is that?
What are you calling me a piece of candy or something, or...
What do you mean?
You called me a mint racist.
I meant to say that you were from, you were minted.
She meant minted.
What, is that like a candy?
No, it's not a candy.
You say she's a mint, right? Like mint flavored?
Is that like mint flavored, Steve wants to know.
No, it isn't, and don't be stupid.
He wants to know for being stupid.
I'm not being stupid. By the mint flavor, you're the guy that said it.
I misspoke, okay? I meant to say a mint. All right, you're right. It sounded stupid, and I'm sorry.
Jesus, what an idiot. What do you mean, like a junior mint racist? Is that
a... No, you mean like a junior mint? See, you can't answer the question. So, in other words, we're a mint flavor?
Oh, God, I wish you'd die.
He says he wishes you'd die.
I don't get it.
What do you mean?
See you later.
He says see you later. I don't get
it. What does that mean?
I'm hanging up.
He's hanging up.
You're hanging up. Well, I get it. It's like a York peppermint patty racist.
Bye.
He says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What's that mean?
Okay, so that's Bobby and Steve calling back because I called her a mint racist, and they want to know if that's like peppermint patty. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Not that you'd really want to get involved in this madness. It may be contagious. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
FCC, man. Right now, they got all the heavyweights up on Capitol Hill. They're talking to the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. Let me explain to you what the Federal Communications Commission is. Because there's a misconception. The Federal Communications Commission has no legal right, no legal right to regulate speech or program content. No legal right. The Federal Communications Commission does have the right to regulate frequency, power, etc. They have no legal right to regulate program content. So when you write a letter to the FCC complaining about content, what you're doing is you're encouraging them to engage in an illegal act, which is to regulate speech. And if any broadcaster in this country actually had the courage to take the FCC to the Supreme Court would have no choice but to rule in the favor of the broadcaster and against the FCC. They have no legal standing whatsoever. But that having been said, that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is this deregulation thing. And by the way, Chris, if we get any calls from people telling me I'm wrong, I don't want to take the calls because I know what I'm talking about and they don't. All right? Thank you. Anybody calling up and saying Phil's wrong, tell them thank you very much, but Phil's right. He's been in radio
30 years.
As of yesterday. Which, by the way, speaking of that, I've been radio 30 years. You think anybody came down the hall with a cake, with a bottle of hooch, anything? No, not a nothing. 30 years. But you know what? That's the way. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's exactly the way this business is. It's perfect. I wouldn't want a big celebration. Just they would. Don't mess up my expectations. I got a little bit from my staff here. That's all I need. I'll go home and I'll drown my sorrows in my bottle of Don Crapo or whatever it is they got me. Now, anyway, so all these guys are up on Capitol Hill and they're screaming and crying and bellyaching about their big broadcast companies. I work for one of them, Clear Channel. Clear Channel owns 86 billion radio stations. They own 9 billion billboards. They own everything. I work for a huge company. Huge. What do? I got a radio show. Now, what I did is I went out and I tried to get my show syndicated. You want to know why? Because I don't want to be stuck out there in local radio when all these big stations started, when all these big companies started buying up stations and started phasing the local talent out of their gigs. That's exactly what I knew was going to happen. That's why I did what I did, got myself into a syndicated position as a radio talk show host. And hopefully, I am giving you something different, something unique, something you can say, well, here's a guy that's a little bit different take on things. Maybe it's too far ahead of the curve. I don't know. I don't care. But I'm not going to disrespect or insult you by bringing anything to the airwaves each and every day that isn't at least giving you a little bit different take on things. Now, let me give you this about the FCC. They're going to sit there and they want to deregulate radio. Well, they should. Or I should say re-regulate. Did I say deregulate? They need to re-regulate radio. I agree. I completely agree that the company that I work for, Clear Channel, and CBS Infinity, and all the other big companies in radio and television need to be divested, need to divest themselves of many of their properties and get other companies involved in the broadcast business. You know, there is a law in this country against monopolies and trusts. I don't know why it doesn't apply strictly to the broadcast business, but for some reason it doesn't. But let me tell you why there hasn't been a hue and a cry about this before. You're not going to like it. It's because the way the American people consume news, they consume it like the laziest slobs I've ever seen in my life. The American people are lazy when it comes to getting their news. Lazy slobs. They sit on their ass with a box of Happy Jacks. They stick their hand into the Apple Jacks, and they just crunch it down, and they watch Fox and CNN and the local news. And that's it. And then, when they get a slanted news broadcast, they scream, they cry, and they bellyache that they're not getting the news delivered to them objectively. God forbid they should go out and actually access the news on their own, going to newsstands, finding other broadcast areas. When you can, you know, there are other areas where you can access news. But I can tell you this, broadcast media is the worst place to get news. It's the worst place to get news. You couldn't go to a worse place to get news than radio and television. Absolutely the worst. And you only got yourselves to blame. Don't talk to me about how it isn't being reported fairly. Go on out and find it. Truth doesn't drop into your lap, my children, said the wise man to the duck. Truth will not drop just right into your lap. You know, life, you got to put a little effort into it, you know? This isn't just get up in the morning and let's go on in and click on the Sony 3 PlayStation 2 or whatever the hell it's called this week. We're not just going to put it slap in the Halo game, baby. You got to go out and get a little work done. You're not going to get the news dropped in your lap. You got to go out and find it. Broadcast business has gotten the way it is and has gotten to where it is today because people just sit back with their thumb up their you-know-what and, well, you know, I guess I'll just watch whatever news they're going to pump into my home today. And if it means I actually got to go out and find the truth and find the news and dig up what's really going on, well, I can't be bothered. Because I got other things to do, man. I got other fish to fry. Well, what do you got to do? I don't know, but I'll think of something. I just want to flip the TV on, have those people tell me what's happening, and then I'll go off to work moderately informed. And then, when they only give me the right-wing view or the left-wing view, then I'll get pissed, and I'll scream and cry, and I'll go to the FCC and say that we need deregulation. What's that going to do? Go ahead, deregulate. I agree. But deregulation is only going to mean one thing. It's going to mean you're going to get a lot of different playlists of songs. You may get a lot of different companies playing the same music. Now, instead of CBS and Infinity and Clear Channel playing the same Britney Spears song, you're going to have CBS, Infinity, and Clear Channel, and Joe Blow Broadcasting, and Susie Drew Broadcasting, and they'll all be playing the same Britney Spears song. But at least it'll give a lot of guys work. People are under the impression that deregulating, deregulating broadcasting is actually going to give them more of a choice. Think about it. Just think about it for a second, man. Before it was deregulated, back in the late 90s, 96, 97, what the hell choice did you have then? Did you hear any big difference between the stations? Did you hear any big difference between the broadcast companies? They're all going after the same thing. They're going after a buck. They don't have a similar message. They have a similar want. It's a dollar. It's not that they want to give you the same message because the Jewish media conspiracy is going to tell them what to tell you. It's that they just all happen to have the same wants and needs. Money. That's all. So what makes you think if they deregulate broadcasting, you're going to get some different message? What are you going to get? You're just going to get more companies looking for money instead of one, two, three, or four. But I say have at it. Go ahead. All I'm saying is if you think that deregulating broadcasting is going to suddenly free up this fount of information and truth, that suddenly, like a faucet, they'll turn on the spigot of truth and it'll come washing over you like a cooling shower, man, you need a, you got to get in for a checkup. I think your 50,000 mile is due. Because it ain't going to happen, friend. All you're going to get is about 800 different companies instead of five or six different companies playing the same crap, putting the same talk shows on, putting the same garbage on the air. Just the same garbage over and over and over again. It's just going to give 500 different guys more of an opportunity to make a dollar. That's all. You get these cats make me laugh. What was that? What did we get, Janice? That fax from that guy? I believe that we ought to do. I won't be. Some people were picketing out in front of KFI today, weren't they? Then let me just address you people in specific. This is the kind of naivete that I'm talking about. What do you think's going to happen if they deregulate? Why don't you people take that energy that you put into picketing radio stations and go on out there and find the information? Because you are not going to get any more information from a lot of different broadcasters than what you're getting from three or four right now. You're really just, man, you are just barking up the old wrong tree. Quit being so lazy the way you grab your news. Go out and find it. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Now, I'll be fired as a result of this, as you know, but it's been nice knowing you. No, seriously, you know, Clear Channel and all these other companies got one need and one need only, a buck. A buck. They got to be making money on my show, otherwise I wouldn't have a show. They have to somehow along the line, either they're making bread on my show or they see enormous potential for making bread on my show. Because I guarantee you this, my friends, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. If you think it's because there's some love of the art, you have got a serious, serious, serious boulders in your head. Now, yes, there is an indulgence or two that's granted to certain projects, shall we say. But by and large, the bottom line is making a buck. Do you remember that guy Tim Robbins when he was up there crying about Clear Channel? Remember when he was crying up there like that big, tall, cool drink of water that he is, talking about how he was getting censored, even though he was in front of the National Press Club, God, man, and all the fishes and loaves and all the 2,000 on the mount. He's standing there blathering into everybody that he's being censored, and he singled out Clear Channel like there's some conspiracy that we are being directed by the President of the United States. You know, Robbins shows so much stupidity because he works in the film business, and I could easily turn around and say to him, hey, pal, so who, you know, which executive producer, Jewish cabal, whose words are you mouthing today, huh? Because obviously you work in communications, too. You don't believe what you're saying. Well, we got him loaded? He just showed me, my friend Mark, my engineer, just showed me a sign, Robbins Loaded. And I thought, what, is he back on the pipe again? Oh, you mean that? Okay, go ahead.
And a friend of the family tells of listening to the radio down south as the talk radio host calls for the murder of a prominent anti-war activist. Death threats have appeared on other prominent anti-war activist doorsteps for their views. Susan and I have been listed as traitors, as supporters of Saddam.
Oh, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. That guy's about as threatened and is about as much in trouble as the Easter Bunny. Because the Easter Bunny don't even exist, so how much trouble could he be in? Look, Robbins, you ain't John Kennedy, so you can back off that fantasy trip. And number two, nobody's going to hurt you. And number three, who's telling you what to say? because you work in communications. So what does this guy think? The Clear Channel and the rest of these broadcast companies are the only ones that are, like, in cahoots with President Bush, and everybody else is just free to speak their mind? Sony, Warner Brothers, MGM, all those other studios, who do you think they're doing the bidding of? They may, I bet you they're just as much in bed with Bush as anybody else. Well, they're a bunch of liberal Hollywood cats. No, they're the same cats, man. Don't give me that crap. All of Warner Brothers, I mean, who did I mean? NBC, CBS, ABC, all of these networks. All of the filmmakers, all of the book publishers for that matter, they're all on the payroll of George W. Bush. And I might as well tell you now, I got a fat check from the White House myself yesterday. What a load, man. How dumb can you be? Although if some cat down south was calling for the murder of a prominent politician, the guy would be arrested. So I don't believe that that happened. I believe, Robbins, your relatives are stupid. Okay? They do come from down south, so, you know. I'm kidding about that, folks. My southern listeners are all just, they're good. All right, so go ahead, deregulate broadcasting, get everything all cool, get about 9 million broadcasters in there. Yeah, it's really going to loosen up. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be just like it was in 1990. What was it like in 1990? Just the way it is right now. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And I didn't even mention the newspapers. The newspapers. Why, I never. Newspapers. Ain't nobody reading those. Nobody reading those newspapers. Nobody. Nobody, 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 man. And that's why I've never once mentioned that Jason Blair story. You know, that's that supposedly is big news. That ain't big news. I can guarantee it. That ain't big news. Who the hell reads the New York Times? Only people in New York and damn few of them. Nobody reads the New York Times. I don't care about somebody with a cob up their rear end living out in Malibu and they miss the old town. And so they get the Sunday New York Times and they read it on the beach. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about real people, normal human beings. Nobody reads the New York Times. So who cares about the Jason Blair story? But let me tell you something about newspapers. And this is where it relates to broadcasting. And I was right about this 10 years ago, and I'm so right about it now, I'm in love with myself. I'm going to go home and just, Anyway, the newspaper business is pissed off at broadcasters because we've stolen readership from them, hand over fist. Today's talk show host is what the columnist used to be. There used to be a thing where columnists were big. You know these guys that write columns in newspapers? You've seen them. They got their picture at the top of the column, and then the guy writes a big thing. And he writes a big thing, and it may be brilliantly written, but nobody reads it. No one cares. They listen to talk show hosts. And so what happened was the newspaper business started treating us with great contempt and disrespect, never took us seriously, looked down their nose at us as if we were less than human. And, of course, it was all the TV business that they really were in love with, because it's the TV business that flies them out for the big junkets, and they can stand around and kiss Jennifer Garner's ass. They can stand around and go, gee, Miss Garner, do you like doing Alias, or would you rather do me? And we ain't got nothing like that to offer them. And on top of that, we're no good. You know, they're columnists. They're so good. Except for the fact that all those newspaper writers, now they all want radio shows. They're all trying to get themselves a radio gig. Yeah. Just write a newspaper somebody's going to want to read. How about that? Write something, anything, that somebody will want to pick up and read. Quit trying to snow me. Quit trying to take an angle. Quit trying to be the voice of this or the voice of that. Just give me some news. What makes you think the Ducks are news? They got them all over the sports page. They ain't news. The Dodgers are news. Baseball is what rules this town. I don't know about any other town, but during the summer months, baseball rules New York. I know that for a fact. It rules Boston. You know, it's big in San Francisco. Nobody wants to read about the Mighty Ducks. I don't care if they're in the Stanley Cup. It doesn't mean anything here. Don't you understand that? Why don't you guys have a pair down there at the LA Times or whatever the hell you're calling yourselves these days and print what people want to read? I picked my sports page up, and there better be something in there about the Dodgers. Not that I love them, but I happen to follow baseball in the summer. I don't follow hockey. You see, ice melts when it's hot. So there's something about hockey and ice skating in summer. I don't know. You know, it's probably just me. But when I'm standing outside with a third-degree burn on my shoulders, a big fat gut and a beer in my hand, and I got steaks cooking on the grill, and I'm watching my kids playing in the pool, you know, going inside and watching a hockey game ain't exactly, how do I put this, top of mind? Get them off the front page. They're owned by Disney. Don't they have enough money, or you want to shovel a little more into their pockets? You know, the one thing that Disney ain't got is money. I think we need to get them some more. They ought to deregulate just for that alone, just to kind of take a few dollars away from Disney, just to see if it's possible that we may make it a little more competitive for them, as opposed to just backing up another dump truck full of dough at Michael Eisner's door. And Mr. Eisner, another delivery of money. Okay, Jesus. Hope it's enough today. I'll count it and see. All right. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, now to international news. You want to know who needs a bullet? Yasser Arafat. You heard me right. Yasser Arafat needs a bullet. He needs a bullet really soon.
When you're feeling sad and blue.
Whatever. Wow! That scared me. I gotta still find that tune. Yeah, that's bullcrap. And now on to our international news. Yasser Arafat. Boy, does that guy need a bullet.
Sugar.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you are wondering what caused young people to finally submerge themselves in the use of crack cocaine and E. This song by the Archies. Yes, I know it's old, probably 30 plus years now, and yet there is a direct link between this song and later music by 50 Cent, Linkin Park, Korn, and others.
I just can't believe
this seemingly innocuous song, Sugar Sugar, led to the overdose death of three teenagers in Detroit, Michigan this past summer after ODing on 8-Balls and huffing Drano.
Ah, sugar.
Oh, I hate them so much.
Honey, honey.
Anyway, Arafat, this is the cat that really ought to get shot, and I mean shot soon, and I mean thoroughly. Do you know what's going on in the Middle East right now? I know a lot of you guys don't think it's important, but let me tell you why it's important. Ever heard of 9/11? Okay, thank you. Oh, what are you talking about the Middle East for, Phil? Yeah, ever heard of 9/11? Yeah, that's why. I'm talking about the Middle East because that's where it's all at, baby. Right now, that's where it's at. Cool that out, and the road to the future is wide open, and it's six lanes. Don't cool it out, and we're going to be, you know, they're going to have flashlights up your rear end every time you walk into Disneyland. Don't chill that out, and every time you go into Senior Frogs for a cool beer, it'll be, all right, spread them. You want to walk into Senior Frogs and look at some guy with Vaseline on a rubber glove? Come on. I want to go in there for a cold beer, and I got some guy going, all right, this won't hurt a bit. We're just going to, you know, here comes the rubber glove down the arm. Guy sticks his whole hand into a big vat of, like, Crisco. Just got to make sure that you're not carrying anything up your butt, sir. Before you go into Disneyland. That's why we talk about the middle ding-dang East. Arafat, Sharon, you know all those names, right? They kind of go in one ear and out the other, don't they? Well, guess what, baby? It all came home. It all came home like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist on September the 11th, 2001. All of a sudden, we all became experts in foreign policy, didn't we, though? You better believe that one. We all suddenly had an opinion about what's going on. And let me tell you something right now. You got to have an opinion about this, because stuff's moving fast and furious, honey. Everything is, I mean, there's no time to sit down and catch your breath. Stuff's moving. Sharon, who is the Prime Minister of Israel, who supposedly like 6 months ago was a war criminal, and they just thought he was the worst guy since Adolf Hitler. You know that guy? Right. Him and Bush, see? Sometimes they're Hitler and sometimes they're not. We really pull that old Hitler out when we need to, don't we? If you'll pardon the expression. I know I do. Why, just last night I had a case of beer and I whipped out the old Hitler, and it's great. Now, what are you doing, man? I just pulled out my Hitler. So I said, you know, I'm talking about this stuff to Janice. I said, look, Sharon has said that they are going to end their occupation, and he took some crap about what the word occupation of the West Bank, but what he meant was he is calling on Israel to pull out of the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, the disputed territories as they're known in Israel. This is a momentous decision, and it was immediately endorsed, it was immediately welcomed, I should say, by, of all organizations, Hamas. Now, do you know what that means? It means a very bold thing has taken place. A very brave man has said, let's bust the logjam. And he busted the logjam by saying, yes, we recognize Palestine as we recognize the need for a Palestinian state. He got the cabinet to accept that. And it's probably one of the boldest things, one of the boldest statements that's been made by anyone in the Middle East since Anwar Sadat decided to make peace with Israel, who was the Egyptian president who got gunned down for his trouble in 1981. But nonetheless, he was an extremely brave man and a very forward-thinking man. That's what's going on right now. Well, guess who's standing in the way? Guess who's saying, well, you know, I have some questions and we need to do this, we need to do that. Now, there's a prime minister down there in the Palestinian Authority, which is what President Bush said needed to have to take place, needed to be in place for the so-called roadmap for peace to get on the way. A prime minister, an independent prime minister, independent of Yasser Arafat. We have been desperately trying to make that little turd irrelevant for a long time. The Israelis don't want to deal with him. The United States government doesn't want to deal with him. And the fact of the matter is, they do need an independent prime minister, somebody who can speak a little bit more directly to the needs of the Palestinian people, not some strutting little human butt log walking around with his little pistol and his tablecloth on his head, serving no purpose at all. Well, guess what he did lately? He said, well, you know, I don't know whether this is cool or not, and I got some questions about the timing of the summit, so they had to put it off until they got with him and figured out what's making him upset. Every time anybody has ever tried to make anything positive move forward in that part of the world, forget about the Israelis. They're not the ones that are causing a problem. That guy. Not the Palestinians. Not even the Syrians, or not even maybe Saddam Hussein. That guy, Arafat, that's the guy. You ask me, why should you care? Hey, go take a look at that pit in New York. That's why you ought to care. Because all of that crap gets cooled out when the Palestinian state comes into existence. I ain't kidding you either. It won't get cooled out overnight, but it'll start rolling in that direction when Israel is neutralized, at least in the minds of the Arabs, by the existence of a Palestinian state. Now, I happen to personally believe that Israel's the greatest friend we ever had in that part of the world, and anybody that doesn't see that is seriously deluded, is really kidding themselves, really kidding themselves. Anybody who wants to go down that road about the terribly oppressive Israeli occupation of the West Bank has no understanding of what's going on in that part of the world. And that's a freaking fact, Jack. However, that being said, Palestinian state is absolutely necessary. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. And it's got to happen soon. The Israelis know that. Sharon knows that. United States knows that. Everybody knows that. And they're finally doing something that's moving in the right direction. Now, if this thing gets turned into a big cluster, you know what, you only got that little slob Arafat. And if that guy had just take a shave and a bath, life would be so much better for so many people, because they got to sit in the same room with him. Are you getting the, kind of getting the drift that I don't like the guy? Look, he's probably a fine guy, and I bet you plays a mean game of chess, but the fact is, you know, please. Arabs will put up with anything, man. They'll put up with anything, but they need to know that we're backing that Palestinian state 8 billion%, and I think we should. I think we definitely should. But you got to get all that. You got to get the scum out of there. You got to get the scum out of there. Now, the other thing about Iran, word is the United States may take action against Iran. You got to understand something. This is a part of the world that is very, very dangerous for our country. Don't give me that. And don't start saying because, well, you know, America's been so mean and cruel, and if we would just be really nice. It's beyond that. It's well beyond that. The psychos have taken over. The psychos have taken over who you cannot ameliorate. The psychos have taken over who you cannot make friends with. And no, and even after the establishment of a Palestinian statehood, you think that's going to stop bin Laden and cats like that? Forget it. And the Iranians, a bunch of theocrats from the 15th century. That's why we got to keep our feet in it. And I hate to say this, and I don't want this to be misheard. We had 9 American soldiers killed in Iraq this week. It's a bad thing, but it's proof why we still need to be there. It's also the reason why the Iraqis don't want us to leave anytime soon. Because they know that crap is going to come down on them just as fast as it comes down on us. You don't hear, do you hear anybody saying end the American occupation lately? Have you heard anybody saying that lately? I ain't. And another thing. All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. This has been International News on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now Phil Henry with a letter to his baby.
The mic's open, you idiot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, baby, we could have had it all. You and me. I'm not saying anything you don't know, baby. We came out here and, oh, God, the world was open to us, baby. You were beautiful. I was going to be your manager. Baby, we had it going on. We were invited to parties, all the big parties. I remember when Jack Nicholson asked you where you got the ice cream that night at that party. Remember that? Yeah, they all were eyeballing you, baby. I would be your manager as well as your husband. And I'd take the 15% that we made together and put it back into our business together. You were taking acting classes and dancing classes, and you were all set for that big pilot for Fox. One day, it all came crashing down, and I'm trying to remember the day. Oh, yes, now I remember. We were coming back from an audition for Steven Spielberg, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about. And I remember we drove by a Krispy Kreme donut shop, and you said, oh, let's stop and get one. Now, baby, you said one. You remember that, baby? You said, let's stop and get one. And I'd like to just like to get that out there for the record. We didn't stop for one, did we, baby? I got back into the car about an hour later, and you weren't sitting in the front seat. You were now in the back seat. The reason why you were sitting in the back seat is because you couldn't fit into the front seat. There were boxes laying on top of you, and I have a tape recording of what you just said. You said this to me, and I taped it. I said, baby, say that again. I want you to say this into this tape recorder, because you have just flushed. You have just flushed 22 years down the toilet. That's right, baby. We just come from Steven Spielberg's. You got the pilot for Fox. You said, let's stop for a donut. You didn't say, let's stop for 500 donuts. And here's the tape recording of what you said to me. Oh, you were beautiful. And now the fat presses against your vocal cords. I can't even tell it's you when you call me. You call me up, and here's a tape recording. You left this on my machine. You remember this one?
Hey, will you tell me, Boogie, since you did it?
Well, sure, we got plenty of time to eat at Tommy Burgers, because guess what? You ain't going out on any more auditions. You're not going out on any more auditions, except they did read you for that part in Shallow Hal as one of the big chicks that's bouncing around the dance floor. So, baby, I'm leaving you. I'm getting in the car, and I'm driving home. I'm driving out of here. I'm driving back to Dallas. Yes, I'll leave you the key to the meat locker in the kitchen. Go ahead and I'll leave the key to the freezer in the garage, too. Jesus, you are so greedy. What a greedy, fat, B-I-dash-dash-dash-dash you are. God, you blew it, baby. You blew it big time. And I can just hear you now as I told you I was leaving.
Does that mean you like to have heard the first machine two times?
You pig.
This has been a letter to my baby on the Phil Henry Show.
Just kind of a little gratuitous slap at fat people. I hope you don't mind. Just a gratuitous, meaningless slap at people who are overweight. Actually, just a meaningless, gratuitous slap at hustling, what do you call it, Svengali-style boyfriends and husbands, you know? The hustling Svengali boyfriend-husband thing. Like the Alan Hamill thing. You know Alan Hamill? Guess who he was married to? Suzanne Summers. Guess what show she was on? Three's Company. Guess which show was really funny? Three's Company. Guess which show stopped being funny when she left? Well, it didn't stop being funny, but it stopped being a hit. And John Ritter's the funniest cat I've ever seen. I mean, that guy is great, but for some reason they needed that cross-eyed broad in there. And Alan Hamill was her husband, and he wanted more money. He was like that chick with the Krispy Kremes. That was Alan Hamill with the money. Jesus, Mr. Hamill, how much can you eat? You got that alpha beta thing going on. What is it with you? She's what? I can't even understand what you're saying. So she screwed that show up royally. See, that's a case where, yeah, you know, you're right. You probably deserve more money. And the network probably should pay you more money, but maybe you shouldn't hold a gun to their head either. Okay, so both sides were right and both sides were wrong, and guess what happened? A really good show went off the air. And what's happening now, Janice? The same thing. Were we reading about that? Same things going on? Oh, Lizzie McGuire. Oh, my God, how I'm going to miss that. You know, Hillary, let me just explain something to you, baby. I'm talking about Hillary Duff, the star of Lizzie McGuire. I know they told you you're a big star, but you're not. No, baby, you're not. You're a little kid, got a big break from Disney, and when you leave the Lizzie McGuire franchise, you will develop an eating program, or an eating problem, I should say. Yes, you will, baby. My daughter Catherine will miss Lizzie McGuire, but they'll recast it with another actress. It'll be back on. And you, Hillary, you'll develop a serious eating disorder. And you'll call your agent and say, you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Or for some of you, you were listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Now you've tuned to another show. By the way, that gratuitous shot you guys took at Scott Foley for losing AUSA, well, guess what? His wife didn't leave him. He left his wife. He dumped Jennifer Garner on her fat ass. What do you think of that?